Another way to think about it is another triad is truth, beauty, and goodness. That if were that to be your choice, that's what you would experience from a matter of certainty. That's what I mean by sanity.
Okay, thank you.
And it's not my experience that that's how the human life unfolds. That's why I'm here. Because this book shows me that there is a way to see through and go beyond the victim world, where we're constantly surprised. Our efforts of love are met with fear, hate, disappointment, and sometimes with something called love for a while. And it disappears. You wonder, wait a minute, that's not good enough for love when it comes and then it goes. It's not good enough. It's better than the full-on hate or nothing. But it's a seek and do not find what I really want. Can you have somehow, can we appeal to sanity, consistency, somehow? Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, after all, if there is something as, you know, good, with a capital G, something good, if the essential power behind everything was actually a lifting, a joining power, a creative power, if the one power behind everything was actually for some type of good that you can trust, then wouldn't it be true all the time?
It is true all the time.
Very nice. So can we just have access to sanity? The answer is yes. That's what this book is about. In a world that looks insane from time to time, can we access that? So yeah, it could be. In fact, the more you start to, keyword now, watch my word, afford this thought, the more you start to see it unfold because of what you actually are in truth. What you are in your dream cannot afford this kind of access to the one power. What you are in the dream has an appetite for things opposite of unity, joining, growth, and creation. This book says, calls it out by name, ego, and it says there's an appetite for things like, believe it or not, guilt. This actually has an attraction to guilt. It actually, the ego, in order to do what it does best, has a relationship and an attraction to pain. You see, pain, like guilt, is a coin of this world. It's recognized. It's respected. It's paid for. It's owed. The punishment of pain is owed for those who are guilty. Well, let's go work on who's guilty and who's not. See who should be getting pain today. Yes.
When you talk about pain, are you talking about suffering, victimhood?
Yes.
Feeling, you know.
Yes.
Bad feelings.
The worst pain.
Not just physical
pain. Not just physical pain.
Right.
The worst pain is the mental pain, the suffering. That's the worst. And when that is felt to be deserved, this is the proof of the ego's plan is working. Which I have to say every time is not a sin. It's not an unforgivable mistake that your ego would have you guilty, a sinner, banished to hell, suffering. None of that is a sin. There's no sin. When you wake up to the source of this book, you recognize there's no sin. and you wake up to how this world appears to be, there is no sin. Sin being an unforgivable mistake that would bar you from the presence of God, that would keep you from being, that would be a sin. No, that's impossible. Because of what you truly are, that's impossible. So can we access what you truly are a little bit here and there? You know, kind of put the train back on the track so it smoothly rolls? You know what I'm talking about? The book says, yeah. It says, it's way different than you think. And the place where that train goes is not where you would like it to go. It's where you would love it to go, but it's not where you initially want it to go. The first thing you would want is a better world. It treats you better. It's kind. It goes your way. Makes you healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's the first place that the ego and the innocent human being would want to go. It's just a more comfortable human being, of course. That's insane. I'm sorry. And I'm happy to give you the good news. Because all the humans, as hard as they try, they still end up with the laws of the world, holding them into a very specific box. None of them transcend this box. Door B. Nope. Door B. We talked about that. So everybody please take a deep breath. I want you to celebrate that we've all come into this room, into this night, and we've all brought to us something that came from who knows where or cares. But A Course in Miracles, 1,300 pages, almost 500,000 words, as a very specific guide, step by step, and each of us here holding hands to do it. To the other way, to sanity. I'm just going to play for you one of the lessons that I recently heard myself record. And I think it's fitting with what we're going to talk about tonight in our reading. So, 6 minutes, get yourself comfortable, take a breath, listen in. If you want to follow along, it's lesson 151. First person there can say the page number. Apparently, several people want to read along.
Page 278.
Thank you.
In the workbook.
Oh, new job.
Lesson 151. All things are echoes of the voice for God. No one can judge on partial evidence. That is not judgment. It is merely an opinion based on ignorance and doubt. Its seeming certainty is but a cloak for the uncertainty it would conceal. It needs irrational defense because it is irrational. And its defense seems strong, convincing, and without a doubt because of all the doubting underneath. You do not seem to doubt the world you see. You do not really question what is shown you through the body's eyes. Nor do you ask why you believe it, even though you learned a long while since your senses do deceive. That you believe them to the last detail which they report is even stranger when you pause to recollect how frequently they have been faulty witnesses indeed. Why would you trust them so implicitly? Why? But because of underlying doubt, which you would hide with show of certainty. How can you judge? Your judgment rests upon the witness that your senses offer you. Yet witness never falser was than this. But how else do you judge the world you see? You place pathetic faith in what your eyes and ears report. You think your fingers touch reality and close upon the truth. This is awareness that you understand and think more real than what is witnessed to by the eternal voice for God Himself. Can this be judgment? You have often been urged to refrain from judging, not because it is a right to be withheld from you. You cannot judge. You really can believe the ego's judgments, all of which are false. It guides your senses carefully to prove how weak you are, how helpless and afraid, how apprehensive of just punishment, how black with sin, how wretched in your guilt. This thing it speaks of and would yet defend, it tells you is yourself. And you believe that this is so with stubborn certainty. Yet underneath remains the hidden doubt that what the ego shows you as reality with such conviction, it does not believe. It is itself alone that it condemns. It is within itself it sees the guilt. It is its own despair it sees in you. Hear not the ego's voice. The witnesses it sends to prove to you its evil is your own are false, and speak with certainty of what they do not know. Your faith in them is blind, because you would not share the doubts their Lord cannot completely vanquish. You believe to doubt his vassals is to doubt yourself. Yet you must learn to doubt their evidence will clear the way to recognize yourself, and let the voice for God alone be judge of what is worthy of your own belief. He will not tell you that your brother should be judged by what your eyes behold of him, nor what his body's mouth says to your ears, nor what your fingers touch reports of him. He passes by such idle witnesses, which merely bear false witness to God's Son. God's voice recognizes only what God loves, and in the holy light of what he sees, do all the ego's dreams of what you are vanish before the splendor he beholds. Let the voice for God be judge of what you are, for he has certainty in which there is no doubt, because it rests on certainty so great that doubt is meaningless before its face. Christ cannot doubt himself. The voice for God can only honor Christ, rejoicing in his perfect, everlasting sinlessness. Whom the voice for God has judged can only laugh at guilt, unwilling now to play with toys of sin, unheeding of the body's witnesses before the rapture of Christ's holy face. And thus he judges you. Accept his word for what you are, for the voice for God bears witness to your beautiful creation and the true mind whose thought created your reality. What can the body mean to him who knows the glory of the Father and the Son? What whispers of the ego can he hear? What could convince the voice for God that your sins are real? Let it be judged as well of everything that seems to happen to you in this world. The voice for God's lessons will enable you to bridge the gap between illusions and the truth. He will remove all faith that you have placed in pain, disaster, suffering, and loss. The voice for God gives you vision which can look beyond these grim appearances and can behold the gentle face of Christ in all of them. You will no longer doubt that only good can come to you who are beloved of God, for the voice for God will judge all happenings and teach the single lesson that they all contain. He will select the elements in them which represent the truth and disregard those aspects which reflect but idle dreams. And the voice for God will reinterpret all you see and all occurrences, each circumstance, and every happening that seems to touch on you in any way from his one frame of reference, wholly unified and sure. And you will see the love beyond the hate, the constancy in change, the pure in sin, and only heaven's blessing on the world. Such is your resurrection. For your life is not part of anything you see. It stands beyond the body and the world, past every witness for unholiness, within the holy, holy as itself. In everyone and everything, his voice would speak to you of nothing but your true self and your Creator, who is one with the voice for God. So will you see the holy face of Christ in everything, and hear in everything no sound except the echo of God's voice. We practice wordlessly today, except at the beginning of the time we spend with God. We introduce these times with but a single, slow repeating of the thought with which the day begins. And then we watch our thoughts, appealing silently to Him who sees the elements of truth in them. Let the voice for God evaluate each thought that comes to mind. Remove the elements of dreams and give them back again as clean ideas that do not contradict the will of God. Give Him your thoughts, and He will give them back as miracles which joyously proclaim the wholeness and the happiness God wills His Son as proof of His eternal love. And as each thought is thus transformed, it takes on healing power from the true mind, which saw the truth in it and failed to be deceived by what was falsely added. All the threads of fantasy are gone, and what remains is unified into a perfect, true thought that offers its perfection everywhere. Spend 15 minutes thus when you awake, and gladly give another 15 before you go to sleep. Your ministry begins as all your thoughts are purified. So are you taught to teach the Son of God the holy lesson of His sanctity. No one can fail to listen when you hear the voice for God give honor to God's Son. And everyone will share the thoughts with you which He has retranslated in your mind. Such is your Eastertide, and so you lay the gift of snow-white lilies on the world, replacing witnesses to sin and death. Through your transfiguration is the world redeemed and joyfully released from guilt. Now do we lift our resurrected minds in gladness and in gratitude to Him who has restored our sanity to us. And we will hourly remember Him who is salvation and deliverance. As we give thanks, the world unites with us and happily accepts our holy thoughts, which heaven has corrected and made pure. Now has our ministry begun at last, to carry round the world the joyous news that truth has no illusions, and the peace of God, through us, belongs to everyone.
Cool, huh? Lesson 151. Let's turn to that lesson. Everybody has it already. Workbook 278. The thing I like about A Course in Miracles is throughout the book, it offers promises. It offers very comforting promises. In fact, the workbook ends with the phrase, "I shall never leave you comfortless." It's in the Bible, too. It says, you know, I know it sucks being separate. Was there. And, there's no need for you to ever be alone in that. So Jesus, this is a big clue of what Jesus really is. Jesus volunteers. He says, you know, I will always be with you. I, who walked the path that you walk and came out laughing, will always be there to guide you. Were you to want to follow? And of course, that's the rub. You know, you truly wanting to follow, they'll be turning to door A. Everything in this world says door B. Time, space, well, healthy, wealthy, and wise will make you happy. But that's not following Jesus or Course in Miracles. There's wonderful promises in here. It says, you know, there's another way. And it's closer to you than your own thoughts. Closer to you than your breathing. Oh, really?
It's the light in which we see.
Yes. Yes. It is the love with which we forgive. That's what it is. And you know it when you feel it. Indeed. Well, let's just take a look at this aspect of it. Okay, so you ready to go? Let's go. Let's read the whole thing together now. Anybody, everybody like the recording?
Yeah. Okay, lesson 5.51. All things are echoes of the voice of God. For God, no one can judge on particular evidence that is not judgment.
Yeah, it's a partial evidence. Yeah.
That is not judgment. It is merely opinion based on ignorance and doubt. It seeming certain is backed, but a cloak for the uncertainty it would conceal. It needs irrational defense because it is irrational. Its defense seems strong, convincing, and without any doubt because of all the doubting underneath.
Okay, we're going to go paragraph by paragraph here. Make a few comments as we go.
So do we just want to read through, or well, we make comments?
Well, we certainly can. I kind of did it for you with meditation, read through. Would you like to read through again, everybody, paragraph by paragraph?
Or can we comment?
I would like to comment on each paragraph.
Yes. 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 That feels good.
Okay. Number one.
Okay, what I really like about this, and this is, kind of a reflection of ourselves, is, oh, I do this.
Yes.
I mean, we know we do this, but it's like, yeah, I do this. We do things in shorthand. We find shortcuts. You know, we have a finite capacity in our brain. So we do kind of like heuristics, kind of like rules of thumb. And so no one can judge on partial evidence. That is not judgment. It is merely an opinion based on ignorance and doubt. Its seeming certainty is but a cloak for uncertainty. Because I don't know everything. Okay? But I'll give my best stab. Right? Uncertainty it would conceal. It needs irrational defense. So if I can't figure it out, I'll test it. It's a contest. You know, I say this. It's like a challenge to the world. So rather than having reason, you know, it's a jump to conclusion. Okay? And because it is a jump to conclusion, it needs defense, in my opinion. So it needs a rational defense because it is irrational, and its defense seems strong, convincing, and without doubt because of all the doubting underneath. So, I, as an engineer, this is one of the things that's common with engineers, is that we will fight for an idea. We'll take it personal. How dare you doubt my judgment? Yeah. Right? And so you'll have, you know, you can have real heated arguments. But that's a way of testing an idea.
Yes.
You know? And that's actually the natural process. But I state a point as if it's true. And that's how I come off. But really what I'm asking for is, show me where I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Show me where I miss it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very good. That's exactly what we're talking about here.
Yeah. Well, you did that from an engineer's point of view. Let me tell you how I do it.
Okay.
So I've been really happy all week long. And it's because what I decided was, if I'm feeling bad of whatever my thought is, then it's not the right thought. If I have any kind of a negative feeling about something, it's wrong. And if I have a joyous feeling about it, and if it's wrong, then what I have to do is go inside and say, what is the truth of this? And one of the things I had a question about, I'm on that holiness business, is I'm holy. And I'm thinking, oh my God, when I don't feel holy most of the time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I said, what is it that causes me not to feel holy? Because it's not a good feeling, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And when I went inside and we were talking about the Enneagram, and I said, you know, it's because a part of me believes I'm lazy. And that part of me says, you're never going to finish this book because you're too lazy to do it fast enough to finish it. Mm-hmm. And so I went inside and said, and what's the answer to that? And the answer I got was, I don't need to worry about that because all I need to do is stay conscious of the fact that the Holy Spirit is trying to guide me, and all I need to do is wait for the guidance. And I've been happy all week long because I've just, once in a while I feel bad, and all I do is say, okay, well, I'm open now to whatever guidance there is.
You are back to certainty.
I'm back to certainty. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and same for the engineer. If the engineer's principles are sound, their argument is very quiet.
By the way, certainty comes from your defenselessness. Mm-hmm. You're not defending, you're just...
I have to give up whatever I'm thinking as being true. Mm-hmm. It's not true, it's just a thought. I can, if something convinces me differently, then that's fine. I like it when it's all spirit that convinces me differently.
If you're an optical engineer, and there's lots of them on the other side of the hill, they're actually using this formula we've all heard of, E equals MC squared. Turns out that Einstein thing, that's real. You can actually build lasers and you can build clocks, very precise clocks, using this formula. And there's instrumentation to do it. So when
even if it's not constant.
What?
Even though the C, standing for constant, and the speed of light isn't even constant.
And it's,
but it works.
It works.
That's what you're telling me. It works.
It works. This formula works out. And if you can understand the medium that the C is going through, you can get to 1,000 decimal places, and it works spot on. Okay? And it's amazing. This is just that formula, right? So if an engineer catches a problem with something, he says, you know, I think I know the solution. You're denying E equals MC squared. He's going to say that without being too excited, because within a few experiments, everybody will know. You guys have used the speed of light in copper. See, we're using aluminum. We're transmitting through aluminum. Electrons don't go as fast. And he knows this. He's very calm. Paragraph 1 applies to somebody who doesn't quite know. All he knows is it should work the way he designed it and built it and invested, and his reputation is at stake a little bit. And now he has imperfect sentence number 1. He says, no one can judge on partial evidence. Doesn't actually know what he's doing, but he has an opinion.
it seems like this paragraph is talking about judging people.
Yes.
Because like if you judge a person, you know, based on what you think, you know, what you feel, what somebody said.
Yes.
You don't know everything about that person. You haven't maybe not spoken to them, maybe not asked them what they meant.
Yes.
So you can't possibly know everything that went into that person to be able to judge that.
Yes. Oh my God, that's an easier case than our engineer, because his lessons 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 explained to us, even that person doesn't know why they did what they did.
Yeah, right.
And you can't judge yourself for the same reason.
Yeah,
for the same reason. Yeah. Anthony.
I was going on along the same lines, having this referred to people, because you can never get all the evidence. Therefore, immediately after I even read that one sentence, I go, well, then I can't judge. I am not allowed to judge because of it.
As a human.
Yeah.
And there's an earlier...
Yeah, sanity. Yes.
And there's an earlier lesson that stuck with me that says, any judgment is an attack, and any attack against another is an attack against yourself. Like, any judgment is an attack. Mm-hmm. That one stuck with me. So just like don't do it because you're attacking yourself.
That's misery making.
But the reason why we judge is to relieve ourselves of the doubt that we have about ourselves and about the uncertainty that we have about the world. Mm-hmm. You know, you wake up and you feel like this sort of angst, this existential sort of like uncertainty about like, what the hell am I doing? Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And you feel that on some level.
Yes.
So to relieve that, you want to have certainty. You want to know something for certain.
Yes.
So you judge somebody and you say, this is the way it is.
They are guilty of being or doing or having, there's a list of other, what's that, an adverb? We could apply to that. And therefore, I may judge them. Opposite of what Anthony's figured out, says, wait a minute, there's some bad math here. That's lying, Anthony says. And Cecily says, and that lying that I was pushing out there cost me personally. But you're absolutely right. In the world of the ego, there's an attraction to guilt that we've read about. Very, very core to the book. And so disruptive to point that out in the ego's doctrine that we really need a lot of pages to do it. And you will see the guilt topic all over the freaking book once you open your eyes to it.
And isn't it
true? But that's why. Because it's a common salve for the human condition. Thank you very much.
But isn't it also true that when you're judging others, you feel guilty about judging on some level?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, and so therefore, that explains it all. The reason I'm feeling like I'm feeling is because I'm guilty. And now I understand.
You know, I felt like that. I always felt like that. But now that I take a step back and look at it like a movie, crime scene all the way. And then I started getting all the evidence to the truth of it. That's how I look at it. Every little thing now. Like, oh my gosh, what a movie. The popcorn's free when you see
what
it that way.
That's right.
No, really.
Everything's got a plot here.
I guess what I'm trying to say is it doesn't make me feel good to judge.
Yeah.
It doesn't solve anything for me to judge.
And sometimes I'm powerless over it because it's that stuff that comes out that's not been revealed that needs to be healed, and I'm not identifying it except to be feeling that. Just like you're saying.
Yeah.
Like,
caution tape means a lot.
What?
Caution. You know, tape the...
Yeah, on the crime scene.
The crime scene,
And Magdalene has a key word right there. She said, things in your mind that need to be healed. When they're unhealed, then it's a wound that's open. And in this case, suffering. A reason to suffer. Is an unhealed thought.
And it's all the doubt underneath. In the first paragraph, it's talking about that doubt underneath, and that's where that comes from.
That's right.
It's like gossip. You know, the reason to gossip is because you're uncertain about the judgment that you made, so you want to go to somebody else to get agreement.
Yeah,
you want to tell them, to get them to say, yeah, you're right, that really sucks. And because you feel bad on some level, like you doubt your judgment and you feel guilty about the judgment. So you want to get some certainty from someone else because you don't feel it yourself.
That's right, and it's from other than facts.
Yeah.
Other from knowing, and so it's partial evidence that's standing up with the gossip in order to give some weight.
Mm.
Yeah.
What
you said like resonates so much for me because I was, you know, I feel like I'm on this path and I'm trying to be all like enlightened and whatnot. But I was talking to a friend of mine this morning, and she was just all over the map and telling me crazy stuff. And I thought in my mind, while I'm being a good friend listening to her, she's just really, like, you know, not doing well. And I got some, like, weird, perverse satisfaction out of knowing how fucked up she was. And then I thought about it afterwards. I'm like, why does that make me feel good? Like, I didn't say anything. I was still a good friend. It was just a thought. But it, like, made me feel good to think that I was, like, doing better than her. And I think that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
But then,
I love it. I'm still a good friend.
There's a twisted attraction.
But I'm not being a good friend to me. Because it's really me.
Yes.
Yeah, because I see your version, my version, okay? And then when you put it together, then the truth comes out.
No, I don't think there is any truth about this world.
Well, no. I've just seen it. Right. Just,
there's no truth. So there's no explanation for anything that makes any sense. Yeah. So you might as well quit thinking that you're ever going to find answers in this world.
It's insanity.
There's a lot of, insanity, yes.
And yet here's where we're going to communicate. We're going to... We're going to be here and we're going to communicate. And this body, I like to talk with my hands. But me and you, we could sit here and tell ourselves things that aren't really true. And if we were honest and kept going, which we could, we're going to get there. Because we're going to support each other to see what's false.
Yes.
And then to see what's true.
And there'll be a meeting of minds.
Yeah, exactly.
There'll be a meeting of minds between you two. There'll be a divergence of minds, and some more talk occurs, and then a meeting of minds. More talk occurs, and it gets closer.
And it's an experience. It's not words.
So is that like the right close to what the holy relationship is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Is that becoming one?
Alignment.
Right?
Alignment, yes.
Becoming one with the truth and things. What, the one, just like you said right there, becoming one.
Yes. It's atonement.
Okay.
Another way to look at that concept, that vector that we would move our minds on. And you can do it with another, but only through the holy relationship, where you see the namaste thing, where you see the same essence over there as is over here. And now you can share.
Otherwise, you're doing a Gestalt experiment. You're coming to some kind of agreement about what's going on now, but that's not really
what's going on.
Okay, so the first paragraph, thank you very much, Brian, you did a great job, and a great analogy for us to work with too. In that first paragraph is how much you have to work for partial evidence and for judgment. And then you have to add some rationale to support it.
So that's where your engineer story was going, right?
Yes. Did that work?
Well, I wanted to kind of hear the rest of it, and now you kind of explained it right there.
Exactly.
You had to do all these papers, all the models, and everything to make sure there's no way.
Yes, and people get very heated when they don't know. But when they do know, they're very calm. They might say, hey, listen, guys, check the E equals MC squared. I'll write it on the board. I'm going to go get coffee. And you guys fight it out for a while. But this is what you missed. Right? He's calm. He's not, you know what? I understand you think, but you didn't look at this truth, see? We're trying to add sanity to our consciousness. Tough job here.
Yeah, impossible.
It's impossible as an ego. Thank goodness there's something, part of your mind, still connected to the truth always, because it's mind. Oh, thank goodness there's still a clean connection to the factory. So that truth can dawn, can be reflected. Watch the words now. Truth can be reflected here, but it cannot be found here. Stay with that. Absolutely right. And it's a wonderful vector to freedom. And then just like you laid it out, it says, well, truth would connect me to everything and there would be no conflict or competition. So if I'm feeling bad, I must be in competition with what is. Let me go back to the truth, which is completely aligned with what is. And you just take an easier breath all of a sudden. That's a holy instant. That's a miracle. Then it's forgiveness, and it's a holy instant.
It's kind of like I have to go back to who I am as you am and say, Holy Spirit, show me who I am.
Yes, and that's what we're doing here. This lesson gives us a very practical way to do exactly that. I hope we get there. I was like, let's just read the lesson and go to our reading. No, this is huge. Because how do you do that? You know, how is it you to practically do that? And I love the gift that this lesson gives. The gift that this lesson gives, in case we don't get there, I'm going to say it. Okay? It says, you're going to take your stinking thinking, and you know what that feels like, and you're going to take it in your virtual hand, and you're going to hand it over to the Holy Spirit, and say, you know what? This is stinking thinking. This is partial evidence, judgmental stuff that just brings chaos. Holy Spirit, I hand this to you to purify and then hand it back to me purified. And as I receive the miracle, the shift in perception about this from you, as I receive it, hey, let this be my personal resurrection. Resurrection, right?
Exactly.
First crucified and then resurrected. Hang yourself on the cross with your struggle and then hand it over to sanity to hand back to you with understanding. That's a miracle. Then you can let go of those crazy judgmental thoughts that were just bringing you misery anyway.
Well, that's a great example of what I was trying to say about the crime scene, because we're doing it to ourselves.
Yes.
And then when you get all the evidence of the truth in it.
And you always receive the evidence that you seek from that crime scene.
And that's the personal you. It's not the Holy Spirit definition of you.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Well, you are the dreamer of the dream. So you're dreaming of a crime scene. And if you're looking for somebody who's 6'2" and 170 pounds, you really want to find that as the guilty person. You will. Not because it's true. Nothing's true here, right? But it's because it's what you want. And you are a creator. So this is unfolding just the way you have designed.
The opposite. So for me, I don't know, I just heard something else in your question there. It's if I'm because the law of love,
yes,
as you give, you receive, that applies to ego thoughts, but it also applies to when we are coming from Holy Spirit. And it doesn't mean that the circumstances of the world suddenly get like flowery and rosy, but that if I'm patient or calm or loving or at peace and I'm coming from Holy Spirit and I'm sharing, then in any adversity I would that would also be brought, like that love or that patience would be given me even in any adversity.
Yes
I don't know if I explained that very well, but
yes. Uh-huh. because with understanding comes peace. Uh-huh. With the willingness to go to peace, you can afford understanding, which brings peace. Mm-hmm. So absolutely right. Yes. Yeah. All right, you brave enough to go on? You want to say something, or should you go on to paragraph two?
Go on to paragraph two.
All right.
I like paragraph.
I know! There's a lot going on there. Okay. Stefan, whenever you're ready.
You do not seem to doubt the world you see. You do not really question what is shown to you through the body's eyes. Nor do you ask why you believe it, even though you learned a long while since your senses do deceive. I'd read that sentence again. Nor do you ask why you believe it, even though you learned a long while since your senses.
Can you put a comma after the word since?
You have to stop
put
after since.
Put a comma after since.
Nor do you ask why you believe it, even though you learned a long while since your senses do deceive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm glad.
See how hard it is to record. It's allowing to record this thing.
That you believe.
Yeah.
That you believe them to the last detail, which they report, is even stranger. When you pause to recollect how frequently they have been faulty witnesses indeed.
Yeah.
Why would you trust them so implicitly? Why but because of the underlying doubt which you would hide with show of certainty.
Wow. Okay.
In other words, our egos needs us to believe. It needs us to believe we can find certainty.
Right, yeah. Underlying doubt.
You know, that says a lot for about our five senses. They all have to be connected,
mm-hmm,
in a sense, in the truth of what we're seeking.
Mm-hmm. If they all work together, as you choose, they will work together.
I don't have all five senses.
Okay, well, you're going to work harder with the four you got.
That's right.
And you're free of that fifth one.
That's
when you don't want it.
That's right.
You can't smell anything?
That's right. Wow.
So she can buy cheap wine.
I can't smell a lilac, or I can't You know, taste is a little different. But mm-hmm. if I breathe with my mouth and my nose, I can sometimes smell the salt air or something like that. But
just on the senses here real quick. We were top of five, but there's actually
more. Yeah.
You have a sense of balance. You have a sense of time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to take it even further, you have a sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, again, it's all the feedback mechanism for the ego.
Mm-hmm. Sense of fairness.
Yes.
Sense of doubt.
Sense of energy.
Sense of energy.
But some of those things are like time is a learn, like you learn about, like it's a measure, time is a measurement, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, time is not real.
So,
I mean,
the only way that you would have us, like a, without learning that, you would have a sense of time is by, you know, waking up and seeing the sun and the moon and, you know.
Uh-huh.
But it's something that you have to think about. In order to measure.
That's my point. You have to think about it and manufacture it, and then when you do, quote, manufacture it, now you have to defend it. And so check out sentence 6, paragraph 2. Why but because of the underlying doubt, like our engineer who's not really sure what he's doing, he just really wants to be right. He wants to take credit, he wants to actually, and I don't know if you admit this as an engineer, you've designed a lot of stuff. You don't mind being lucky, is that true?
Oh, that's the best. No, that's true. Yeah. Well, all penicillin's the best.
The best.
That was
genius.
How did you do that?
Genius.
It messed up my experiment.
I spilled something in my, and I forgot to check in it next day.
So, our journey's a gamble.
Okay. Yeah, it's certainly random.
Okay, I'm just kind of just.
But at the end of a month ago, you were talking about, like, when you get the inspiration to do something,
yes,
it comes to you like,
yes,
it's something to do. And when that comes to me, I don't usually question it. I just do it.
Right.
And after I do it, then I'm happy to explain to somebody else.
Yeah.
The theoretical, all the stuff that went into doing it, which is completely made up after the fact. Of what's that? I did that, and then I'm like, let me explain it to you.
Yeah.
This is how I figured it out.
And you forgot.
All lies. The whole thing is lies beyond that. The voice came to me. Something came to me.
Yeah.
I did it. It worked perfectly. I didn't even think about it. And then I'm like,
I'm going to write a book.
No, they should do it in the future. Yeah, you could have done that if you thought about this. And put this together and put this together. That's how I invented penicillin.
Yeah.
Right. And I fell asleep in your coffee and something happened. You spilled something into the wrong tray. You're not going to say that, because then what will happen to your whole reputation? Such a famous.
That's right.
Boy, oh that's boy. Right. And then you got to go to clubs with other people who are doing the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that means your ego took over.
Yeah,
absolutely.
My ego took over.
He was illustrating that.
That's his whole point. Yeah, that's the whole point. So, the world, if you allow the randomness of the world to happen, you will get happy accidents.
Yeah.
And the engineer knows this. Mm-hmm. So they're willing to push on a design that's likely to work, or something close to it will work. I just got to get started on it and build it. It will come. Engineer knows this. So they get very excited about pushing their design, even though they don't have it 100% figured out. And you can see the differences in how close they are to how calm they are. Right? And so we're talking about here, because you, whoever you think you are swimming in a world of uncertainty. But certainty feels better. So you're going to try. You're going to try. Okay? Let's continue.
I will say, though,
yes,
the things that have worked out the best for me are the things that came from out of the blue.
Like we talked about the other week.
But what I'm saying is that when it comes out of the blue, well, I don't take credit for it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know where it came from. It just
unlike this egomaniac, right?
I know where it came from.
Yeah, I read a book about it. Write my book.
Spirit.
Came from spirit. Oh, okay. Good. Came from spirit. That's right. That's right. Yes. Mind is the activating agent of spirit. That's a quote from the book. What does that mean? No, really. You should meditate on that phrase. Well, we'll never get there. That's in the manual. We will never. I'm not lying. We will never get there.
I have faith.
You have faith? All right. I know. One day, if we do ever talk about mind, we'll get there.
Could you just say that sentence again, though? The mind?
Yeah.
Activator of...
The mind is the activating agent of spirit.
Okay. And that is true when we are in our God self.
Wow.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true anyways.
Did you know that there's a holy...
It's just true.
Yeah, it's just true. It's just true anyway.
You're not wrong. I really appreciate what you say. It's just great. It's so, like, innocent and truthful and everything.
Yes.
But I don't know. How are you going to argue with the truth?
Yes, that's right. He got it.
Yeah. You are on tonight.
Oh, yeah. I can argue with the truth. I can do it.
Yeah.
Nobody else.
Yeah.
Don't argue with the truth. Just let me.
Well, why did they name our ego after a bird?
Is a bird ego a bird? Well, I don't know. There's lots of crazy names for birds. Okay, Bridget, would you read for us paragraph 3?
Is that a Zen poem or something?
How can you judge? Your judgment rests upon the witness that your senses offer you. Yet witnesses never falser than was then a false was then.
Your ego does not want to admit this short sentence. It really doesn't want you to say it out loud.
Where is three?
Yeah, start. Yeah.
Well, we're all getting like witness. It's just hard to read.
Witness never falser. That's a weird word.
Yeah, falser. Witness never falser was than this.
Yep, it's a turn of phrase. It probably counts out to perfect iambic pentameter.
Yeah.
Blame it on that. Jesus had too much fun with that Shakespearean thing. He took it too far. Right.
Okay. Yet, witnesses never fall to
worship. Well, you're saying the first one.
But how else do you judge
it counts out.
You see?
It gets a iambic pentameter.
You place pathetic faith in what your eyes and ears report. You your fingers touch reality and close upon the truth. This is awareness that you understand and think more real than what is witnessed to by the eternal voice for God himself.
That was cool.
Deceit. Self-deception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I share a story that happened that's very much about the senses?
Mm-hmm.
So I rode my bike, and it was so hard to ride. And I'm like, gosh, I know I haven't ridden in 2 weeks, but why is it so hard to ride? My tires were getting low. So I stopped at this gas station to use the air. And I, to be honest, this is a new bike. I haven't used what can fill car tires on a bike before, so I wasn't even confident that it worked and didn't know how to use the gauge. Anyway, so I'm like planning this all out before I put my money in the machine. And this guy, this maybe, I don't know, 20, 30, 27 or 30 year old guy, like riding a bike, drinking a beer, and just kind of looking maybe a little sketchy in general, like rides up to me and is like, hey, you know, there's free air. And I was like, well, you know, I think that's only if you pay for gas or something. And he goes, oh, no, they know me here. So he's going in and getting, you know, he's like, he gets him to turn on the air. And then he just, like, proceeds to, like, continue to help me. And I'll be honest, I was like, where's my backpack? I was like, you know, just being so cautious because this is my training, my past thoughts. And he just, I mean, he was like, oh, you know what, you can do this. And he actually let some air out first so he could fit it on the frame better before filling it. Like, he really seemed to know what he was doing. And then he started, like, fixing my brakes. And then the air thing stops, and we weren't totally done. And he's like, oh, you can just run in, you know, just run inside and tell him to turn it on again. And I was like, yeah, leave my bike here. Unlock it. I was still just like... And sort of meanwhile, this other guy, like maybe a friend had also come along on his bike and just started chiming in about, you know, how to, like, things about bikes. So he ends up going in and turning the air on, so I didn't actually have to leave my bike. But it was just this continued judgment.
And then I kind of like settled in, you know, he helped me out, the tires seemed good, he's like, you got mad tires on this, I don't even know what that means. but this third person kind of came along, which I thought might have been with the group, and he wasn't. So he and I started talking, and the next thing I know, this guy just, the one that had been helping me and his friend just roll off, and I was like, wait, thank you so much, and he didn't wait for any kind of thanks, nothing. He didn't even need to finish the interaction. He just had helped, and he left. And it was a real reality check for me of, like, all this past thought I have that I base. And certainly I want to be, like, a little bit vigilant in this world. As a woman, I have to be. Mm-hmm. But it was the middle of the day, perfectly nice. I mean, just, it was a real reality check of how do I carry my past with me and use my senses to just... and I actually left, that interaction so overjoyed. Mm. It was, this person was a legitimate sharing with me. Mm-hmm. And I had just gone through all these snap judgments about the beer and, like, taking advantage of me as a woman or just everything.
It might change the average.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right?
No, I thought that same thing. It's defense. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, be ready. Because we live in an environment that's not pretty. And I'm going to tell you, I can put a nice face on.
Well, I get that. I'm not saying I'm not going to ever, but the reality is that if I came from, I could still walk in this world and be a safe person, but if I came from a place of peace, like that interaction would have, it just would have been, I would have been undefended spiritually, but I could still show up as a human, like taking care of myself.
That's right. Trust in God, but tie your camel.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. But on the other hand, she spent minutes, I don't know how long we were with these people, being tied up herself instead of the camel.
Yep.
And she would have been able to be free if she'd had a different feeling or an attitude.
Wasn't trusting in God.
Yeah.
God was showing up to do some tire stuff.
And then even if something did happen, you still, how you deal with that.
Beautiful.
Is even more important. Like,
yes.
Don't get bunched up about
yes.
I knew it was going to happen. I knew that was you.
Yes.
Instead, you could just
That's
be
right.
at peace.
Well, underneath all that chaos, she had love for herself.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Very good.
Because
okay.
that's what
right.
was being all reflected
that.
To her.
That's right. You can trust that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then as herself starts to include the other guy or that situation, then more love occurs. She slips her lock onto her bicycle, says, I'll be right back. I'm going to get the air turned on. Mm-hmm. She says, you know, I'm a little afraid of being out here without my bike.
You remember the 60s? during the 60s, like, there was, you know, this whole idea about free love, love your brother, trust other people.
Yes.
And I used to pick up hitchhikers. And I picked up these two guys one time. I picked up these two guys one time, and, you know, they seemed friendly at first. And I looked down, the guy's got a knife on his hip. And I look in my rear view mirror, and this one guy has this fucking crazy look in his eyes.
Yeah.
And he starts asking me weird questions. And I just, like, drove up to the nearest police station and said, get out.
Yeah.
And I was lucky.
Yeah. Okay, you call that lucky?
I didn't have any particular feeling of fear or... At first,
yes.
I was trusting.
Yes.
Because it was the
60s. It's the 60s, and you want to be trusting.
Yeah.
It's true today for... Julie wants to be trusting.
Yeah.
And at the same time, let's trust in what's happening. You know, the inevitable.
Yeah.
And so let's the crazy eyes, the knife on the hip,
it's like
and
be
the
present,
love for yourself.
Not, like, have these ideas about something bad's going to happen before it happens.
Yeah, yeah. And so you meet yourself where you are, and so will the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit won't ask you to be a saint and teach you these big lessons about getting a knife in your gut and see how you handle it.
Nah.
This is not how the Holy Spirit teaches here. It meets you exactly where you are. The police station was perfect for where you are.
Yeah.
So was what you did. And the lesson was delivered very richly, just as it happened, no changes needed. Absolutely right. Good. Good.
I'm just presenting the option.
No, I like it. It was useful. Thank you. Absolutely.
No, it was. It's actually very similar in a different way.
In a different way.
Where, yeah, meeting you where you are. So let's read the next paragraph.
Can this be judgment? You have often been urged to refrain from judging, not because it is a right to be withheld from you. You cannot judge. You merely can believe the ego's judgments, all of which are false. It guides your senses carefully to prove how weak you are, how helpless and afraid, how apprehensive of just punishment, how black with sin, how wretched in your guilt.
It guides your, the ego guides your senses carefully to prove how weak you are, because that's what it was hired to do.
Yeah, that's what it's destruction.
Yeah, but that's where the ego works and lives, and how it makes a really interesting, fun journey through hell. It's what the ego is for. It's not a sin, by the way.
No, it's not a sin, but it's also, I know it's happening when I don't feel good.
It doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good.
It is an exploration into hell, but it doesn't feel good. And it never will feel good because of what you are in truth. You are good in truth. And when you go into falsity, you are going away from good. Therefore, you will not feel good. You will not be as you are. That's what we call it, an illusion.
By the way, what you're just saying is the difference between what the Course teaches in traditional Christianity. Because in traditional Christianity, you're bad.
That's right.
You're so bad, you're beyond hope except for a savior.
Wow.
Isn't that only one form of Christianity? It's the mainstream.
You,
the mainstream? Yeah.
You original sin. Christian.
Right. You need a savior. Well, if you need a savior,
original sin.
You must be. Not just any savior, the Son of God himself has to come in.
And God's willing to kill that son so that you
screwed up so bad.
You know, I just got a circle thing here. You came from an engineering place of thinking to a sense of truth, to a truth. And I came to the same thing from a feeling position. And you have been saying thoughts create feelings and feelings create thoughts and thoughts create feelings. Mm-hmm. So that's the circle.
Yep, that's right.
Well, I mean, things pass by so quickly. Mm-hmm. But what you said, you are good.
Yeah.
And in at least my upbringing, you know, a Christian, no, you're not.
That's right. That's right.
And so it's a complete reversal in thought.
Yep. That's right. That's right. Yeah, the original sin.
And that's where the freedom, that's where I got freedom from this, because, and why I actually threw it away, but put it down when I first started reading the Course and studying the Course, was it was just too off balance from everything I knew from a spiritual perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you know, I have to, you know, I'm not worthy that whole
mm-hmm.
that whole thing. I'm not the same as Christ.
Yeah, amazing that way.
And by the way, that's one of the hard things. This is part of the forgiveness thing, is the letting go, to say, well, yes, I am lovable. I got to go to one of the principles. Is that all right?
Sure.
And
or yes, I am holy.
Well, no, it's
a hard one.
Again,
I love all this.
I never had a Christian or any other kind of spiritual upbringing.
When you're convinced that you're separate, it's hard to say you're holy.
Yeah. So, and this is one of the things it's hard to accept about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But this, again, is one of the miracle principles, 33. Mm-hmm. Miracles honor you because you are lovable. They dispel illusions about yourself and perceive the light in you. Mm-hmm. They thus atone for your errors, not your sin, your errors, by freeing you from your nightmares, by releasing your mind from the imprisonment of your illusions, they restore your sanity.
Nice. Nice. Tie back. Beautiful. Miracle Principle 33. Beautiful. Thank you, Brian. Okay, paragraph 5. Michaeline, is it?
No, I just finished. It's Walter.
Walt?
This thing it speaks of and would yet defend, and tells you as yourself. And you believe that this is so with stubborn certainty, yet underneath remains the hidden doubt that what it shows you is as reality with such conviction it does not believe.
Mm-hmm.
It is itself alone that it condemns.
Mm-hmm.
It is within itself that sees the guilt. It is its own despair it sees in you.
Mm-hmm. So there's a honesty that gets awoken with A Course in Miracles. You get permission to look at the uncertainty with which you are operating. The sophistry, which is, you know, false philosophy, that you're false premise that you're resting on. In other words, bust the ego's rationale. Because if you don't, you will continue with this self-punishment, this uncertainty beneath everything. Because you don't know. Somehow you have to admit you don't know and have it be a good idea. The ego says, no, you can't admit you don't know. That's backwards. You need to take your past and know what you learned is right and then try to enforce that, and then maybe you'll get somewhere in this world.
Be an authority.
Thank you. Be an authority unto yourself.
And to everyone else.
And then let it extend to everyone else once you've got proof that you did it something right. Oh yeah, now you're moving you up in this world. You're in control.
That's the basis of prejudice.
Oh, very good. Nicely done.
Basis of what?
Prejudice.
Prejudice, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, on the judgment vector. Very good. Next paragraph, please, Julie.
Number six, yeah?
Yes.
Hear not its voice. The witnesses it sends to prove to you its evil is your own are false. And speak with certainty of what they do not know. Your faith in them is blind because you would not share the doubts their Lord cannot completely vanquish. You believe to doubt his vassals is to doubt yourself.
Yes. Yeah. So there comes a time in your spiritual journey when this trust awakens in you. A trust of the mysterious, okay? A trust of the beyond, let's call it that. There comes a time in your existence when your trust in this beyondness alights on your mind and your heart at the same time. As it comes a moment, and that is the ability to say, I do not know, and actually be happy about it. It's huge. It's a huge diversion of the way the world teaches you. The world teaches you to be very defensive and smart and to know everything and be the authority. But you're only going to be authority in the ways of the world. And it's hell. It's a prison. Even at its best.
Such a relief in saying, I don't know.
There's such a relief in saying, I don't know.
And another one is an aspect for me is it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I have found that to help be helpful.
Yes.
When I say something that I'm so emotionally entrenched in.
Yes.
And I get to this place and I say, it doesn't matter.
And
I don't know the truth.
And it doesn't matter that it doesn't matter.
That's right.
I love that.
So it doesn't matter to have to be right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or anything.
Yeah. Really be free.
Really?
If it doesn't matter, it really doesn't matter.
That was a huge point for me.
Yes.
When I was able to say.
Yes.
In a conversation or in a situation.
Yes.
That was very loaded emotionally and painful.
Yes.
And the person saying, what did I do wrong?
Yeah, yeah.
And what came to me was, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter. There is no wrong. There's no right. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, you'd have to make it up why it matters.
Yeah, it was like, this is telling a whole other story.
Yeah. See, in the holy relationship, you see through that quite quickly because you come to the present moment. And you have what you have, you did what you did, you said what you said, and all that's in the past, and the past can touch me not.
Right.
But certainly not us when we join. There's no past, there's no. Yes.
This is just kind of a funny way of displaying what you just said. And it's the engineering side. I was part of an engineering group, and it was the best group. It was this tiny little research office. And if you went in there when we were in our meetings, you would thought we hated each other's guts. We were yelling and screaming and blah, 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 blah. But at the end, our boss would say, okay, we're taking a vote. Which way are we going? We're going to go this way, we're going to go that way. And then we would end that day, we'd go our ways, and we would always go out for a drink or pizza afterwards. And we were the best of friends. Mm. And if you saw us out having a pizza, you would not recognize that group as the same group that was in that meeting beating each other up.
What a dynamic.
Interesting.
That's very interesting, isn't it? What a dynamic. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
But we all agreed, we all had such respect that once we came to an agreement saying, okay, and you could see some people, I don't think we should go this way, but we did. We went,
yes.
You know.
Yes.
Surrender. It's a form of surrender.
Yes.
Because we were allowed to get heated, and you knew you weren't going to get judged.
And it didn't matter anymore.
What came out afterwards is the truth, which is, well, nobody really knows. And you knew it. You knew it. Yeah. Some people thought they knew more than the other people. But they knew, as we're reading in these first six paragraphs, they even knew they didn't really know.
Well, exactly. And that was the whole point. We were throwing stuff on the wall to see what sticks, and we all knew that underneath it all.
Yes, exactly. That's what we're talking about.
And, you know, I think
this
world. Do that because you operated in a circle of love.
Well, absolutely.
We're all pulling the same direction.
We are all the best friends.
We'll all share when it wins.
Man, did we get into it.
Yeah. Okay, next paragraph. Number 7.
Kenny's going to skip. Yet you must learn to doubt their evidence will clear the way to recognize yourself and let the voice of God alone be.
And I watch that phrase, Mark, when you ever read this book. Voice for God, not of God. Mm-hmm. Did you know?
What did I say?
You said voice of God.
Oh.
Which we might find in the Bible, you might find that phrase. You won't find that phrase in A Course in Miracles. Because that doesn't make any sense to A Course in Miracles, that God would have a voice. Right?
Okay.
I'll
start over again. Right. Yet you must learn to doubt their evidence will clear the way to recognize yourself and let the voice for God alone be judge of what is worthy of your own belief. He will not tell you that your brother should be judged by what your eyes behold in him, mm-hmm. nor what his body's mouth says to your ears, mm-hmm. nor what your fingers touch reports of him. Mm-hmm. He passes by such idle witnesses, which merely bear false witness to God's Son. Mm-hmm. He recognizes only what God loves, and in the holy light of what he sees do all the ego's dreams of what you are vanish before the splendor he beholds.
Beautiful. You bet. Now we're moving to Holy Spirit's vision, Christ's vision. We're moving to away from the physical senses, away from of the lies that the world are made of. Mario, next paragraph.
Let him be judged of what you are, for he has certainty in which there is no doubt, because it rests on certainty so great that doubt is meaningless before its face.
Isn't there a nice capital C certainty there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Christ cannot doubt himself. The voice for God can only honor him, rejoicing in his perfect, everlasting, sinless, whom he has judged can only lap at guilt, unwilling now to play with the toys of sin, unheeding of the body's witness before the rapture of Christ's holy face.
Unheeding of the body's witnesses before the rapture of Christ's holy face. I'm preferring the rapture of Christ's holy face. Yes, indeed. Next paragraph.
Okay. And thus he judges you. Accept his word for what you are, for he bears witness to your beautiful creation and the mind whose thought created your reality. What can the body mean to him who knows the glory of the Father and the Son? What whispers of the ego can he hear? What could convince him that your sins are real? Let him be judged as well of everything that seems to happen to you in this world. His lessons will enable you to bridge the gap between illusions and the truth.
Ooh, wouldn't that be nice?
Wow.
bridging the gap between illusions and the truth.
It brings out that hope, you thought it, you did it.
Well, because your thoughts are absolutely your next step.
Is your what?
Your next step is your next thought.
Bless you.
The bridge is formed by your willingness. And if you have a willingness to join, willingness not to see with the body's eyes, your brother.
Okay.
Now your next thought is going to be, well, Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me what's really there.
Right.
Okay. Show me the real motivation behind all those four-letter words intermixed with my name that I just heard. And that's a bridge now to the truth. Yes.
Is this kind of the idea of, like, you know, something that is seemingly bad happens, but it leads to, like, a positive spiritual lesson or a more positive outcome, like that concept where it says that everything that seems to happen to you in the world that we can't really know, like, what it's for?
The word seems is really critical there. Because in as you awaken, you'll see that what seemed to happen to you did not happen to you. Did not happen to you.
It happened.
It happened in the dream.
Right.
It may have even happened to your body. And there's bills and blood to pay for it. But with Holy Spirit involved, you start to recognize that you are not your body. Even though the body got hurt, part of you is unaffected by that. What is that? And it's to this we must awaken. And it's to this, it's with this you shall transcend the limits of the body.
So I totally get that. But then how do you explain why do some people's illusions treat them better than other people?
That was what you were saying before. You answered your own question.
You show me, Cecily, somebody you think that is truly happy in this world, with this world, and I will show you somebody you don't know very well. Of course, says it this way. There is nothing so blinding as perception of form. Mm. That's the biggest block there is. The world is the world after all. It has laws after all. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Let's continue. Who's up to bat? Well,
Are we at 11?
Yeah.
10.
He will remove all faith that you have placed in pain, disaster, suffering, and love. He gives you vision, which can look beyond these grim appearances and can behold the gentle face of Christ in all of them.
Wow!
I experienced that in a moment.
Yes, you have. Please continue.
You will no longer doubt that only good can come to you who are beloved of God. For he will judge all happenings and teach the single lesson that they all contain.
The single lesson that they all contain. All the different varieties of sickness and cancer and loss and death and premature death and people that should die that don't die. All of those things. You wish would die. Every variety you can imagine of unfairness in this world. He will teach you in all of those, the single lesson they all contain. Now you got a chance of getting this. Because there's only a single lesson. Now you got a chance of being free. If there was a whole library of lessons, and you better start with the easiest, and then you'll end up being able to handle the hardest ones. Oh, no!
I thought that was 365 ones a year.
No, there's no order of difficulty in miracles. One's not harder or bigger than another one. See, because all expressions of love are maximal. And when you understand the power that the miracle is pointing to, what's behind the miracle, it's just that one lesson. And so it always will be present. The miracle is always present because of the power that it points to. That's how it's just becomes so very simple. I didn't say easy, because that depends on how you're loving the world and how you're trusting the world and how much invested you are in the world. That'll determine how far you have to fly to get home. Okay, let's continue.
Just to pick it up, I'll start with the last sentence. For he will judge all happenings and teach the single lesson that they all contain. He will select the elements in them which represent the truth and disregard those aspects which reflect but idle dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And you will reinterpret all you see and all occurrences, each circumstance and every happening that seems to touch on you in any way from his one frame of reference, wholly unified and sure. And you will see the love beyond the hate, the constancy in change, the pure in sin, and holy heaven's blessing on the world.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
This is a promise made to you by A Course in Miracles over and over, and here it is again. And I just love that it's not denying. Look what Brian just read. I'm just going to read to you that it's not denying hate. It's not denying change. It's not denying sin. It's not denying the world where you think you live. What it is going to do is translate these things into purity, into a blessing. It's going to translate for you this unification in what seems to be separate.
So it's kind of like it's giving you a perspective.
Yes.
You look at everything through this one perspective.
Yes.
Love.
Yes.
You see things and it binds everything together.
Yes. And you gain understanding.
Understanding
of what seems so separate,
right,
and competing,
right,
you've gained understanding of,
yeah,
it. So instead of seeing the differences, you understood the sameness.
Right.
Not with your body's eyes. Body's eyes report differences. The third eye sees the sameness.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Very good, Mark.
I just finished recently the lesson on our inheritance from God.
Yeah.
God keeps for us.
Yeah.
Is that line that inheritance?
Yes. Absolutely. You inherit the truth being already yours. Is this good news, isn't it? Yeah.
And another key point here is that you don't fix your thinking.
Mm.
Okay? It's not your job to correct it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm. And again, Holy Spirit will reinterpret all you see.
Yes.
It's not, you don't get it, think differently. No, turn it over to the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Think with Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Think with Holy Spirit for God.
So yes. Therefore, you don't, like, when you make a mistake, you say, damn, I should have known better.
That gives a whole...
Damn, I don't know any better.
That gives a whole meaning of spiritual senses, because that's the window you want to be looking out.
Yeah.
I'm just tapping into that, and I'm seeing a whole different thing.
Yeah, spiritual sense is what we call light.
Well, that's what I'm saying, you know. But you need, I'm just seeing it from a different angle.
It's what we call light.
Okay.
It also fits into.
And when the Course says, I am the light of the world.
Amen.
It isn't the one who is working on darkness that's the light of the world. It's the spiritual sense. Yes.
Anthony. I had a pastor once who said, relates directly to this, said, how would love see this? How would love react to this?
Nice. Nice. That's a translation, right?
Great.
Please, love, translate this for me.
And he said, you can only do that if you can have a chance to pause and say, wait a minute, this isn't real.
Yeah.
What would love do? What would? And that was,
yes,
his... one of his teachings. That was one of his catchphrases. He would always say, when something's going on, wait a minute.
Yep. Wait a minute.
Yeah,
very important to stop.
Love you in this,
yeah,
situation.
Very important to stop.
That's right.
There's a song about that.
Rock and roll song.
Yeah.
And the Course in Miracles will have you practice the idea of stopping, going still, just an instant is all it takes, and then you can go home in peace. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you'll find that in here too. Yeah. Let's continue.
Such is your resurrection.
Love that!
For your life is not a part of anything you see.
Whoa!
It stands beyond the body and the world, past every witness for unholiness within the holy, holy as itself. In everyone and everything, his voice would speak to you of nothing but yourself and your Creator, who is one with him. So you will see the holy face of Christ in everything, and hear in everything no sound except the echo of God's voice.
That's what I'm talking about. And let's stop there and go to tonight's reading and see how it applies.
Oh my gosh.
I tell you, it's worth finishing, okay. But you do that. So check out how that beautifully ties in to page 415 in the text. And look at paragraph 14.
It's your turn to read, Andrew.
Very well. Thank you, Julie.
415.
415 in the text. Bottom of the page, pretty much. It says, why should the body be anything to you? Certainly, what it's made of is not precious. Ha! And just as certainly, the body has no feeling. It transmits to you the feelings that you want. Like any communication medium, the body receives and sends the messages that it's given. It, the body, has no feeling for the messages. All of the feeling with which they are invested is given by the sender and the receiver. The ego and the Holy Spirit both recognize this. And both also recognize that here, the sender and the receiver are the same. The Holy Spirit tells you this with joy. Well, the ego hides it, for it would keep you unaware of the sameness of sender and receiver, who would send messages of hatred and attack if he but understood. Well, he sends them to himself. Who would accuse and make guilty and condemn? Well, himself. Well, nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We need some sanity to see the sameness. And understanding of what's really happening can be born when you understand that the body is a wholly neutral thing. Everything about it, it just does what it's told. It just does what it's told. That's what you made. You did a great job. I mean, it's amazing. And it's completely dead, even as it attempts to live.
So if you read the last sentence, I think there's a lot of people who would do that. Who would accuse, make guilty, and condemn himself? We do that all the time.
Yes. Yeah, but not if you understood.
Not if we understood.
Isn't that the funny? That's kind of funny.
Yes.
To me, that's funny. The idea, like, this is what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we do it because we must think there's some value to it.
Over and over.
Yeah. But it's so funny to understand, like, if you understood, you wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
If you understood,
because
you
would, I'm okay to attack. I got no problem attacking myself.
Yeah.
Until I realize maybe what I'm doing.
Yes.
Up until then, it was like, that's just what I do.
In fact,
more points.
Up until then,
I'm better at doing all these things. I'm way better than all the rest of you at doing terrible things, by the way.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time. Blindness, the perception of form.
Yeah.
I was in engineering school.
Yeah.
And it's what I'm saying is complete malarkey, and it's about illusions.
Yes.
But that thought, like, am I afraid of some understanding? Because I sure act like it about half the day. And it does, that doesn't even make sense to me. I like to when I get to the point where, like, this step doesn't make sense, step, and take a break. Because you're just going one step down and down, back into hell.
Yeah, I think, and whenever we don't stay aware of the love of God that we are doing ego stuff.
Yes.
We have to stay awake to it all the time in order for us not to do what you're saying you do.
Yes.
What is it? It says in the book something about you're either present to fear or you're present to love, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, fear and love are opposites. But what is all-encompassing can have no opposite.
That's right.
But they are opposites. And so they never mix.
They can't mix. Yeah.
They can't talk to each other. They can't sit down and have a conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense to each other.
That's right. They don't make sense to each other.
Right, but there's some kind of logic.
Opposites,
right?
To each other.
It's insanity.
Well, there's some kind of logic if I start with the false premise. There's a logical system.
Very good.
If I start with
very
this
good.
One that's screwed up,
yeah.
Then I'm going to find out who screwed it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I find out, like, at some point, I'm, like, not any better than anybody else, and I'm screwing things up just as much. It's just some more stuff.
Yeah. And then the rationale behind the premise, which is something is harmed, will bring on a guilty party, an appropriate punishment, mm-hmm. and a chance for some forgiveness with teeth, which is the special relationship.
But only in the future.
But only in the future!
Right, but when I'm really caught up in that, I'm like, it's that person's fault, right? Or it's their fault. Or if it's my fault, it's somebody else's fault that did this. The logic only goes that way.
Yeah.
And that's when... That's when
it's your mother, of course. Oh yes,
but that's when you find out you're really only attacking yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. But
then
still,
with that thought, the
it
logic,
is your fault.
Well, of course it's my fault.
Yeah.
In fact, the more responsibility I take for the fault, then the greater I am.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. And
right.
Because all the rest of you are powerless.
Right.
Because I did it.
Yeah.
But when you, like you said, and that thought of, like, really looking, really being, like, putting ill feelings and will towards somebody else,
mm-hmm.
when you find that that's really going at you,
yes,
then maybe there's some understanding.
That's right. Then there may be some willingness not to judge, not because they're not wrong. You can't get away from that too quickly. However, that... the judgment is harmful to both you and them. You might be willing to look at not judging.
Mm. And then if I'm willing at all, because this is part of that, if I'm willing at all,
yes,
to like,
that's
to
right.
try some of this ceasing attack.
That's right.
A little
try
willingness.
Some ceasing, a little
ceasing
willingness.
Ceasing attack thoughts.
That's right.
Then something happens that's marvelous.
An openness happens.
Something that I didn't expect. Maybe I felt it 30 years ago, but this is like, well, I tried it.
Yeah.
I did not expect those results.
Yes.
Like, whatever I thought before this moment doesn't matter.
Yes.
Because what I'm feeling in that moment was the solution which I thought would have no solution. I spent my invested in.
Yes.
That's just not going to happen.
You know what happened is you allowed you afforded I do not know just even for a little willingness.
Well, I remember the I remember the day of
just
doing
for a
that.
Second. Yes.
That lesson the first time.
Yes. You know what we're forgetting? We're forgetting we have a co-pilot.
Mm-hmm. There's your strength.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's
this
right.
Is strength,
no,
right?
Saying,
this is your strength.
Wait a minute. Hey, I got this co-pilot that's with me the whole time. Pilot to co-pilot. You know, and I got that from this class every time I leave here. Thank you.
Amen, brother.
No, I'm just saying, because I'm not going to leave home without it.
Everybody, Manual for Teachers, page 34. Just have a few seconds left.
Manual for Teachers?
Back of the book.
Yep.
Back, and David, when you're ready. Page 34, Manual for Teachers. And paragraph 6. And...
paragraph 6?
Yes. And just for fun, because we're here... start with this previous sentence in paragraph 5. Seek,
eight.
But do not find. Page 34.
Yeah. All right. Seek, but do not find. I just like that one.
Busted.
Reigns the world's stern degree, and no one who pursues the world's goals can do otherwise. You may believe this course requires sacrifice of all you really hold dear.
Like your body.
In one sense, this is true, for you hold dear the things that crucifies God's Son.
Like death or the body.
And it is the course's aim to set him free. But do not mistaken about what sacrifice means. It always means to give up of what you want. And what, O teacher of God, is it that you want? You have been called by God, and you have answered. Do you not sacrifice that call? If you have heard it as yet, and they but turn to you. There is no other hope in all the world that you can trust.
That they can trust. Mm-hmm.
There is no other voice in all the world that echoes God's.
Mm-hmm.
If you would sacrifice the truth, they stay in hell. And if you stay, you remain with them.
Yes, they stay.
They
is your brother. Mm-hmm. They is any other consciousness you can imagine. If they stay in hell, you stay there watching the prison gate that you think they stand behind with them. Even you may think that you're free, but if you think they stay in hell, you become the prison guard, and they the prisoners. Those poor SOBs. So hopeless they are. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not them. You would stay there to watch that they stay inside that cell and not outside where they could get to you. Turns out, oh my God, you need a miracle. You need a miracle.
I had a dream about that. It was my miracle.
I remember your prison dream. Okay, let's have a circle. Take a deep breath. And you have been given a gift by Lesson 151 and the presence of all your loving brothers here who would encourage you to not know what the ego knows to be true, to you to not know that even just for an instant. If ever a time you feel unhappy, if ever a time you feel out of sorts, if ever a time you feel that things aren't right, if ever a time you feel victim of any type, if ever a time when you feel very small, when that happens next, if it ever does again, say, Holy Spirit, take this little thought that I'm making such a big deal. Take this, purify it, and then please hand it back to me, purified. And when I receive it, purified, that thought changed by you will be my resurrection. For I have certainly been dying over it. I've been crucifying myself with this thought of smallness or worthlessness. You take it, hand it back to me purified, and I'll use it as my personal resurrection. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. That's Lesson 151. Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.